Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Madhuri, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Dushman Carbogen Amsys Limited Q4 FY26 conference call. We have with us today Mr. Stephan Fristi, Chief Executive Officer, Carbogen Amsys, Mr. Harshil Dalal, Global Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Paolo Armanino, Chief Operating Officer. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Stephan Fristi. Over to you, sir.
Welcome to everybody. This is Stephan Fristi speaking. It's an honor to talk to you. I also welcome Harshil Dalal, our Global Chief Financial Officer, and Paolo Armanino, our COO at the Dushman India site. Before we go into the financial numbers, let me give you a brief overview about Carbogen Amsys, how we did at the moment in the past quarter and now. So starting with the drug product site in Saint-Brieuc, the market shows some challenges, but still we could increase our quotation rate. We see an incline of requests. Some new projects could be acquired during the last quarter, and so we are quite optimistic to become successful in this site as well. There is specifically interest in late-phase projects that we can produce commercial products in the foreseen future. At the same time, we control our costs, of course. We have initiated some cost control measures and so on. Drug substance, that's the biggest business unit in our company. It's lively in this area. We got more than 10 late-phase projects, including PPQ campaigns, which is very good for the future. We have, as usual, the normal API projects and products in our pipeline, but also related to ADC. There's a huge demand on ADC and related compounds like the linker payload, which is good and high-margin products. At the moment, we got more than 30 commercial products, which is our base loads in revenue generation. The co-investment, what we talked last time, the past two times, is on track. We are optimistic and confident that we can finish the engineering activities in Switzerland according to plan. Same time, the lean management is rigorously pushed forward. We increase in efficiency, productivity, and reduce our cost base. The third business unit, specialties, there we see a strong VDA, vitamin D, and analog sales. These are the products with high margins. The demand has increased, which is also responsible and has got a big impact on the strong numbers there. We have optimized our supplier base, specifically on wool grease. We have negotiated new contracts. We have more suppliers on board. We got better prices, so the cost base has been improved as well. Specifically on the sales activities, we have increased our sales force. We have increased on both sides, on the Carbogen side, but also on the Dushman Carbogen side in India. We have increased the number of salespeople, which is the condition to attract more products and more customers to feed our pipeline. So we are well positioned for the future and I'm absolutely optimistic and confident that we're on the right track and we get more products and business in. Last time I mentioned our sprint activity. This is an initiative to attract early phase projects. This is very positive and successful. We got new clients in our portfolio, big pharma, but also mid-size and small pharma companies who are very strong. We showed very strong interest in our new initiatives. This is important to get the early phase projects in for mid and long-term future of the company. So this is a very good initiative, and we are very happy with the development of this. Another area where we make progress is the combination drug substance drug product. We have started now to offer this entire package to the market so that the customer can come on the drug substance side and take the materials through to the drug product. So he has only one supplier to deal with, which is Carver Genensis. So the collaboration with Dishman in India and Carver Genensis in Europe is developing very nicely. We have multiple products and projects together. We have also now the first API where we transfer it from Europe, from our Carver Genensis sites to Dishman to be in a better position in terms of cost base, and that we can get more and more attractive prices also on the market. So this project has been initiated, and I'm confident that this will be a great success also in the future. So all in all, together with Dishman, Carver Genensis, our entire group is well positioned for the future. We are very optimistic that we are on the right track, and I think the financial numbers will confirm this. With this, I would like to hand over to Harshil Dalal to take us through the financial numbers.
Thank you very much, Stefan, and a very good afternoon to all the investors and the stakeholders. It's a pleasure to talk to you about the financial numbers that we have achieved for the quarter ending 31st of March, 2026. Starting with the revenue, it was one of the best quarters ever for us, where we reported a revenue of 851 crores for the quarter, which represents close to 19% growth as compared to the comparable quarter of the last financial year, where we did a revenue of about 716 crores. As far as the segment-wise breakup of this revenue is concerned, we saw a significant amount of growth on both the segments as we classify CDMO as well as marketable molecules, where on the CDMO side of the business, we saw a revenue growth of about 21%, as compared to Q4 of financial year 25, going up from 569 crores to 690.8 crores in the quarter ending 31st of March 26. As far as the marketable molecule segment is concerned, and more specifically within this particular segment, the vitamin D analogs part of the business, as Stefan alluded earlier, had performed significantly well in the quarter ending 31st of March 26, where overall for this segment, we saw a growth of 9.3% as compared to Q4 of financial year 25, 146.9 crores of revenue in that quarter going up to 160.5 crores in the quarter ending 31st of March 26. As far as the further breakup of the P&L is concerned, from a cost perspective, we were at about 15% in the quarter. This percentage is a bit higher than what the yearly average was, but this was mainly on account of higher amount of commercial supplies going out in this particular quarter as compared to more of the phase three development work that was done in the first 9 months of the financial year. As far as the employee expenses are concerned, we see a significant increase in the employee expenses for the quarter ending 31st of March 26. there is a one-off in this particular line item, mainly because of the switch of the pension plan for our employees at the Swiss entities, where we moved from the earlier pension provider to a completely new pension provider, which basically allows for greater benefits for the employees when they retire, as well as for the death and disablement of the employees. Because of which there was an additional provision based upon the actual valuation that was done, that was booked as part of the employee expenses to the extent of about 2.5 million Swiss francs. The other expenses stood at about 147 crores as compared to 92 crores in the comparable quarter of the last financial year. This deviation of about 15 odd crores is largely represented because of certain additional provision that we had to make in the quarter ending 31st of March 26 on account of the onerous contracts. So as you know, what is fundamental to our business is continuously assessing what are the actual hours that are estimated for a particular project versus the budgeted hours, and wherever we see there could be a possibility of an overrun, we would immediately book a provision. Contrary to this, in Q4 of financial year 25, we did see a reversal of certain onerous provisions, because of which we see a differentiation between the last year Q4 versus Q4 of 26. 30 crores, which is solely attributable to this provision. Overall, from an EBITDA perspective, all of this translated into a healthy EBITDA for Q4 of FY26 of close to about 163 crores, representing a 19.1% as the EBITDA margin for the quarter. The depreciation and amortization stood at about 88.79 crores for the quarter, the finance cost at about 43 crores, and all of this translated into a profit before tax of about 46 crores. The tax expense was about 24 crores. It would not be prudent to see the tax expense as a percentage of the profit before tax because 50% is not the tax rate that we pay. But because of the losses in certain entities, the percentage looks higher than what our effective tax rates in each of the jurisdictions are. The profit after tax for the quarter stood at about 21.7 crores. Looking at the full financial year, while Q4 was extremely strong, we also saw a strong delivery of performance for the full financial year in line with what we had set out as expectations at the beginning of the year and subsequently in the Q2 and Q3 of the financial year. The income from operations stood at about 2,932 crores as compared to 2,711 crores in financial year 25, representing close to about 8% growth in the revenue. The COGS stood at about 408 crores, roughly about 13% of the revenue. Employee expenses stood at about 1,447 crores. The other expenses at 510 crores, all of this resulting into an EBITDA of 565 crores, equating to 19.3% for the full financial year 26, as compared to 17.3% in the previous financial year. So we have been able to increase our EBITDA margins by 200 bps in the current financial year that concluded. The finance cost for the full financial year stood at about 174 crores as compared to 159 crores. That is also a forex impact, which is included as part of this finance cost. All of this translated into a profit before tax of 104.9 crores for the full financial year as compared to 19.3 crores in the previous financial year. And the profit after tax stood at 97.4 crores as compared to 3.2 crores in the previous financial year. As far as the breakup of the revenues are concerned, roughly about 81% of the revenue was contributed by the CDMO segment for the quarter, and it was 83% for the full financial year. The segment-wise breakup for the full financial year comprised of the CDMO, this part of the business growing by about 6.5%, accumulating to a revenue of 2,441 crores, while the marketable molecule segment, the revenue increased by about 17%, going up to 490.65 crores as compared to 418.5 crores in the previous financial year. As far as the margins are concerned, for the quarter, the CDMO segment reported a margin of 18.7% at an EBITDA level as compared to 23.9% in the comparable quarter of last financial year. And the major reason for this deviation is because Q4 of FY25, we saw a lot of late phase 3 molecules being delivered where we make our highest margins. The marketable molecules segment, as we had mentioned earlier, keeps on showing a remarkable performance as far as the margins are concerned. And because of the increase in the share of the VDA, that is the vitamin D analogs, as well as the cost measures that we undertook in terms of supplier diversification, we were able to increase the margins to 21.1% for the quarter and 18.8% for the full financial year of 26, representing a 940 pips increase in this margin. Regarding the capex that was done for the full financial year, that stood at roughly about 22.4 million Swiss francs. Our net debt, excluding the lease liabilities for the year ending 31st of March 26, stood at about 146.8 million as compared to 157.6 million at the end of the last financial year, representing a decrease of close to about 11 million Swiss francs. Apart from this, I would like to highlight one of the points that was also approved as part of the board meeting yesterday, obviously subject to the necessary the regulatory and the shareholders approval, which was in regards to the one of the promoter entities providing a long-term external commercial borrowing to the parent entity, with the objective that we are able to pay off the high-cost debt in India, which will have a significant positive impact on the interest cost for the group as a whole. And it would also provide flexibility in terms of the repayments because the terms are extremely favorable where we have a proposed tenure of 10 years, and the loan will be completely unsecured, which also allows us to free up the securities which are currently provided to the banks in India. Additionally, the funds can be utilized for the working capital requirements as well as the capex requirements in India and also at the subsidiary level as and when required, which takes away our dependence on external funding. And also, it also allows us to borrow at a cheaper cost. So this is something that has been approved by the board yesterday. And, we would look forward to receiving the shareholders' approval so that the transaction can then be executed. And it should benefit the company at a standalone India level as well as at a group level quite significantly. With this, I would like to hand over the call for opening the floor for questions that we could provide the necessary answers to.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. The first question comes from Harshit Katka from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, if we look at the depreciation cost, right, so it was around 79 crores a year back, which, increased 84 crores in Q3 FY26 and is now at 89 crores, almost at 89 crores. So depreciation, you know, is increasing sequentially every quarter. So just wanted to understand how should we model depreciation going forward. What could be the depreciation cost in FY27 and 28?
So thank you for your question. So basically the depreciation more or less, you know, in the functional currency over the last 1 year has remained more or less constant quarter over quarter. There has not been a significant amount of capex that has been done. The last manufacturing line which went live was in France, which was in Q4 of financial year 25. So that is an increase in the depreciation because of that. But apart from that, you know, one of the other factors that influences the cost part and also the depreciation as part of it is the foreign currency fluctuation impact when all of the expenses are being converted or translated into INR, which also has an impact on this. But as far as the functional currency is concerned, you know, we have not seen a significant increase in the depreciation.
Okay. And sir, you explained in your opening commentary that 50% tax rate is not the normalized tax rate and is elevated mainly due to losses in subsidiary. So, like, how should we model the consolidated tax rate going forward for FY27 and 28?
I think it would keep on, there are two parts. So, you know, certain subsidiaries, like, for example, our France subsidiary, as well as the Shanghai subsidiary, you know, where there are losses right now, and India also not performing currently. So because of that, the tax rate is looking higher. But as the performance keeps on increasing, you know, as we keep on generating more and more profits at this particular entity, you know, the effective tax rate as a percentage of the profit before tax should keep on coming down. So I would say, you know, it would gradually keep on coming down. So for FY27, you know, it could be close to about 40% for the full financial year. If the year after, it could be close to about 30%. Because if you see right now, the most profit generating units that we have, majorly the Swiss entity as well as the Dutch entity, the taxes that we pay at the Swiss entity are close to about 15%. At the Dutch entity, it is close to about 25%. And then we have accumulated losses at the, you know, at the India level because of the depreciation of the goodwill, and in France as well because of the last 2 years where there were losses. So we would be able to utilize these losses against the future profits as well. So I would say in about 3 years' time, we should be closer to about 20%, anywhere between 15 to 20% as the effective tax rate on the profit before tax.
Right, understood. And sometime back, you know, we had said that there would be 10 crores of reduction in our interest cost on a quarterly basis. And, you know, the interest expense would eventually stabilize around 30 crores per quarter. But the interest cost has not reduced as expected. So if you could give some color on that and help us understand the outlook for debt levels and also interest cost for the next 2 years.
So basically the interest cost right now that you see, you know, on an absolute basis at the Swiss entity level, the cost has come down. But again, you know, there is an impact on account of the foreign exchange fluctuation in the, built into this finance cost. From an actual cash outflow, you know, if you look in the functional currencies of the subsidiaries, the cost has actually gone lower. Having said that, with the fundraising plan, which has been approved by the board, you know, and if that goes through, we should be able to reduce the cost significantly because the high cost debt that we have in India is something that we would want to pay off, from the loan that we are able to raise at much lower cost. So that would be an interest differential of close to about, 7% on the rupee borrowing that we are talking about.
So, sir, is it safe to say that the interest cost will eventually come down to around 30 to 35 crores per quarter?
Yeah, it could go even lower than that, but yeah, on a conservative basis, 32, 35 crores should definitely be doable.
Sir, but that would be from which quarter exactly? In FY27 only, right?
This would be in the current financial year.
Yeah, but any quarter if you could specify?
Well, conservatively we can say from Q2 of the financial year, Q2 or Q3.
Q2, Q3. Okay, sir, understood. Thank you. That's all. Yeah. I'll join the.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Yash Tanna from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a decent set of numbers. So my first question was on the India business and the scale up there. Last quarter, we mentioned that we have close to 1100 or 1200 crores worth of RFPs, and we expect, you know, to at least convert 30 to 35% of these orders. And you mentioned that maybe in the next 6 months, you get some firm commitments. So just wanted an update on that, on the RFPs and how also the new pipeline or new RFPs are looking like for the coming year, since we had a plan to scale India up to 500 crores in the next 12 to 18 months, and also an updated guidance on that timeline and targets. That's the question.
Sure. So, you know, there have been significant developments, like, you know, just to start with one of the largest molecules that we were producing or we are producing out of the Swiss entity, which is for a big pharma. The customer has agreed for the tech transfer to happen to India. So that is something, you know, which was a great achievement. And because of this transfer, even after giving discounts to the customer, we should be able to increase the overall margins on this particular product. So that is one of the significant developments. The other RFPs as well, those are progressing quite well. We have physical inspection from one of the large innovators that should be happening in the current month or in the next month. So that could translate into additional orders coming in for the active pharmaceutical ingredient for the product where we are currently manufacturing the key starting material. So in terms of the timing, yes, you know, we are getting more and more RFPs as well. So those are getting added, and the ones which were already in pipeline, you know, we are already seeing positive effects of the same. As far as those translating into the revenue numbers and profitability, that would be happening, I would say, in the later part of this year or in the next financial year. So that is how, you know, we are looking at it.
Got it. So that's clear that it will be more back-ended. But can you quantify, like you mentioned, the Swiss tech transfer, Swiss entity tech transfer, and the innovator molecule that you mentioned where you are in talks with the innovator. Can you quantify what sort of values or contract values this would be? And in that sense, what could be the revenue realization, let's say, in FY28 from these already sort of not confirmed, but close to confirmed contracts?
Mm-hmm. So basically for this molecule that I mentioned about, you know, for the tech transfer, the annual revenue that we currently do is close to about 20 to 25 million per annum. For the other project, you know, if everything goes well, you know, it could be at least another 20 to 25 million of opportunity for the India business. So these two are the ones which look to be, you know, going quite well. But obviously it's a matter of time, like when the tech transfer, everything happens and when we start seeing it in the numbers.
Got it, sir. This is $20 to $25 million, right? Just to clarify.
This would be Swiss francs.
Swiss francs. Okay. Got it. Sure, sir. My second question, we had mentioned on the, this is on the ADC supplies of the linker that we are doing. So last quarter, we had mentioned that last year we did 22 million CHF, and for 27 and 28, we had given an indicator number of 30 million, 40 million Swiss francs. respectively. So just wanted to know if these are, contracted volumes and the innovator will pick up this much value of products from us. And also just wanted to understand the EBITDA margin profile on such kind of supplies, right? Because they are quite complex. Is it fair to assume that this would, the margins would be close to more than double the margins that we are doing on the console level?
Yeah, so starting with the first part, so the molecule has been performing quite well and it has been getting more and more approvals as well. So, and we supply the linker as well as the payload. We have the purchase orders in hand for the next years. And that is the reason, we are quite confident about this particular project. Plus, the customer has been co-investing along with us. The first co-investment has already been completed. The second one is in progress. We are quite hopeful on that particular molecule. As far as the margins are concerned, the assumption that you mentioned is quite true, and it could be even higher than that. So it's quite a profitable product for us. And, the partnership has been going quite well. Maybe Stefan, if you want to add something to that.
Yeah, thank you. Harshal, you summarized the situation quite nicely. The partnership is very tight. We host them on our site regularly. We go there to see them and to discuss the progress of the project. And what we see on the customer side, they have secured some successes by their clinical trials, by having more indications. So we are all in all very confident and optimistic that what the customer tells us and told us in the past, that this will be the future and reality, that we can produce according to the plan.
Got it. So that's very helpful. And just to follow up on that, the supply, since we have the purchase order, will this be in any particular quarter or will it be throughout the year? And if it is a particular quarter, if you can mention which quarter these supplies will come in?
I think that would be very difficult to say, like, exactly what quarter. We have the planning for it. The customer might want something pre-order quantities as well. So it all depends. And that is also one of the reasons why we say that it is very difficult to look at us on a quarter-over-quarter basis. In the last quarter, where the EBITDA was not that high, we had explained that there was deferment of certain orders which went to Q4. So it all depends upon when exactly the customer needs those quantities. I mean, whether it falls in those 3 months or maybe in the fourth month, that's very difficult to gauge right now.
Sure, got it, sir. And one last question, if I may. On the ADC front, right, now this is one molecule and one contract where, as you said, it's extremely profitable. Can we highlight if you're working on, such similar innovator molecules or any such similar contracts from the Swiss entity, which could be in the pipeline and maybe could, get commercial maybe in the next 1 or 2 years, and any colors around that?
I mean, we would not be able to name anything specific, but yeah, I mean, as a general statement, we can say that we are working on many, many wonderful candidates. And, some of them could be, if not equal to this size, at least a great portion of the business as and when they move into phase 3 or move from phase 3 into commercial. But what we are confident of is because of the technical capabilities that we have developed in-house and being partners to some of the large innovators as well as the biotech companies, as well as entering into this partnership with Salonic on the MAB, that's helping us to gain traction in terms of more and more of these projects. Plus, we also, as Stefan had mentioned earlier and also in the last quarter call, we also started this initiative called the Sprint Initiative, which is to capture more and more projects for the early phase. Because, you know, the success to our business is that the more number of projects that we start with at the early phase, those could be potential candidates for late phase and then, you know, turn them into commercial projects. So that is something that we are quite focused on. And yeah, I mean, some of the molecules look really promising, but Stefan, if you want to add something to this.
Yes, as you said, Harshil, we have a good customer base, big pharma, mid-size and small. We have a multiple late phase project where we are also ready for FDA inspection. We're just waiting for FDA popping up, so which is always a good sign. And the collaboration with Celonic is a milestone because there we have the possibility to have a combined offering, starting from the linker payload synthesis to the conjugation with the Celonic antibody, and then also do the drug product formulation in Saint-Brizier. So this is very promising, and there's a lot of attraction in the market.
Got it. So thank you. That's very helpful. Best of luck. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Disha Bodia from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are audible.
Yes, thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. So, sir, my first question was on our overall revenue growth. How do you see the growth for FY27, sir, given the ramp-up of our subsidies? How do you see the overall growth?
So the overall growth looks quite promising. You know, yes, I mean, right now, because of the geopolitical situation, there are certain uncertainties as well. But, you know, we do see that overall from a business perspective, from, you know, things should look up, but we are continuously assessing the market situation as well. And hence, you know, we would remain cautious as far as the guidance for the year is concerned. But if you take a three-year view, you know, we are pretty confident of the growth that we have set out, the path that we have set out in terms of the revenues, the profitability, and you know, the growth plans remain very much intact.
Okay, and so in terms of our margin, so this quarter we saw a dip in the CDMO margins because of the late phase 3 development. How do you see these margins for FY27? And also the increase in the marketable molecule segment, the margin increase was very good. So how do you see this sustaining? And is there scope for further improvement?
Yeah, so as far as the margins are concerned, you know, we do expect that both the segments will keep on improving as far as the margins are concerned. Our target remains the same, which is to get to the 25% mark in the year after next, or now FY28. So that target still remains. And the contributors would be both our contract development and manufacturing business, as well as more specifically our vitamin D analogs business, you know, where apart from the increase in the revenue, we are also concentrated on how we can optimize the cost structure, both from a raw material perspective as well as the other indirect expenses. And all of this put together, you know, we should be pretty confident of achieving this kind of number. The two pockets, you know, where we are highly concentrated on is to see how we can get more and more business into the French facility. We are trying to provide drug substance and drug product as a single offering to our customers. And that should help us in gaining more traction as far as that particular business is concerned. For India, you know, the capacity is already there. The regulatory hurdles are behind us. So we don't see any reason why the India business should not keep on growing in the future. So combined all of this, you know, we are pretty confident of achieving our midterm and long-term growth plans.
So you mentioned the 25% sort of EBITDA for FY28, right?
Yeah.
So
that's correct.
Could we see for Yeah, so FY27, could we be somewhere around 22 to 23%? Will that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's the target. So, but as I said, you know, let's wait for a quarter or so, and then we can be confident of, of giving a guidance on the numbers.
Sure. And just on the overall mix, sir, for CDMO and marketable molecules, where will we see this? What will be the target mix that we are targeting from both of these segments, say in the next 2-3 years?
Sorry, the target what?
The revenue mix from the CDMO and the marketable molecule.
So the CDMO business will keep on growing. And as far as the mix is concerned, I would say it would be somewhere like 85-15. So 85 being the CDMO part of the business and 15% being the marketable molecules. Most of it is dominated by the vitamin D analogs and cholesterol.
Okay. That is it, sir, from my side. Wishing you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. The next question comes from Preet Nagarseth from Wealth Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for this. My question is regarding the, you mentioned that the debt on the India side, which could get replaced with the ECB, could you please quantify how much is the India debt and at what percentage it is right now?
Yeah, so the India debt is roughly about 800 odd crores, and I would say the average interest cost would be close to about 10.5 to 11%.
Okay, so you're saying this gets replaced with a 4% loan, so the spread is 7%. But if you were to say plan for the currency depreciation, say assuming Indian rupee depreciates 4 to 5% every year, wouldn't that effectively take it to about 9% levels?
No, because, you know, if you see from India, 90% of our revenue also comes in foreign currency. So, you know, we have equivalent amount of foreign currency that would be coming in, which kind of negates any adverse foreign exchange fluctuation risk, where the debt in foreign currency would act as a natural hedge against the revenues in the same currency. And again, the tenure of the loan is also kept quite long, so that if you see the revenue over the next 10 years, I mean, the revenue in foreign currency is going to be much higher than the foreign currency debt that we would be availing.
Okay. So what you're saying, in other words, is that the first priority whenever this gets sanctioned is to repay the 800 crores, and you see this concluding by end of quarter one, somewhere quarter two, and hence you're saying that from quarter two or quarter three onwards, the interest cost for the quarter would go to around the 35-40 crore mark instead of the current one.
That's correct, yeah. So the idea is to basically, at least from a net debt perspective, because, you know, certain loans might have certain lock-ins or certain prepayment penalties, etc. But at least from a net debt perspective, you know, we would want to have it made zero as far as the India entity is concerned, so that we can keep on paying that off as quickly as possible, which should have a significant positive impact on the finance cost at a consolidated level.
And regarding the overall debt, do we see it increasing this year over and above what we closed this year?
We don't expect any increase because, you know, as we have been saying, there are no major capex plans apart from the co-investment that we are doing with the Japanese innovator, where 100% of the capex financing is being done by the partner. So apart from that, you know, the maintenance capex is something that we will have to keep on incurring across the group. There would be investments that we are making into digital transformation, which includes the SAP implementation across the group, putting the group on the same platform as far as possible regarding all the systems, processes, including the lab management software, and also trying to make advancements using artificial intelligence wherever possible in order to make the processes more efficient. So these are going to be the areas that, you know, we would keep on concentrating on. But otherwise, in terms of the hard core assets. I think we already have that capacity. It is all about utilizing that capacity in the best manner possible.
So can I safely assume that given that there is a 20-25 million tech transfer to India plus an additional the ADC business worth $10 more for this year, that's $30 million itself, and whatever additional business comes our way, we should at least see a 400 to 500 crore top line jump from the current financial year's closure. Is that a fair assumption on my end?
So what I would say that, because, these things are in fluid, so we don't know how much of it would come in the current year, how much goes into the next year. But from an overall perspective, we would want to wait for a quarter or so and then give the guidance so that we are extremely sure about what we could aim to achieve by the end of the financial year.
Understood. Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good bounce back in the quarter. Sir, the first question is on the standalone business. So with this two new contracts being discussed and hopefully, we should get them, how should we look at the trajectory for our standalone business for this financial year and next financial year? I think most of these contracts will, get commercialized in FY28 only. So how does FY27 look for in the standalone business, and how is FY28 looking like currently with the current set of business in hand and RFQs in the pipeline?
Yeah, so for the current financial year, we definitely expect an increase in the revenue, which would also translate into increase in the profitability for the India business. That is for sure, as compared to financial year 26. And as far as the trajectory is concerned, because of the singular organization that we have now formed, as far as the business development and the sales activities are concerned, between Carbogen Amsys and India, the Swiss entity and India, that is helping us to now pitch to the customers, and that is something that what we are aggressively doing as a single offering between the high-tech development services out of Switzerland and the large manufacturing setup out of India. So this should we are already seeing positive effects of the same, and it should start translating into orders and hence numbers in the coming years. How much of it happens in the current financial year versus the next year is something that we would need to see. But overall, from India perspective, we do expect an increase as compared to the last year, both in terms of revenue and profitability. And if you take a 3 to 5 year view, India is definitely one of the, I would say the growth in India is going to be one of the key strategies for us in order to increase the revenue at a group level as well as improve the profitability significantly. Because historically, India had been doing close to about 35-40% operating margins for us. Yeah. And that is the kind of level that we would want to get back as quickly as possible.
So, with the current order set in hand, should we at least get back to FY25 levels of 400 crore, or that looks difficult? And FY28 with this new orders and RFQs in hand, we should be looking at 500 crore plus kind of top line. Will that be a right assumption to make?
For FY28, that's the target that we have in mind. For the current year, it could be a bit lower than what the number that you mentioned, but we are still. We're still 2 months into the year, so it would be too early to say that.
Sure. And sir, on the ADC business, so apart from the one large molecule that we are doing with a Japanese innovator, we were also in discussion with the same client for the other molecules which were in phase 3, and other customers also for which some of the molecules were in phase 2 and phase 3. So any update on the same, and how are we seeing the progress on that front?
So I think the progress in general for all the phase 3 molecules has been quite good. Just talking about the Japanese innovator, they also received approval for their molecule as a first line treatment which is quite significant. And, the kind of projections and the estimates, the orders that we have received, it looks, I would say, if not beyond expectations, at least in line with what we were expecting. So that's moving quite well. Even the other molecules, they are progressing quite well. We are getting more and more traction because of the other initiatives that we have taken at the Swiss entity, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of getting new molecules. So overall, from the technical capabilities that we have, we are not seeing any significant dropout of the molecules. But again, it depends upon, in the past we have seen molecules even in late phase 3 dropping out. But as of now, things do look promising.
So ADC, how much would be the contribution in FY26? And how do you see that growing in FY27 and FY28, especially with the new CapEx coming online in FY28?
So FY26, that would be close to about all molecules put together on the ADC side would be close to about 25%.
Okay. 25% of the Swiss entity or the consolidated?
Of the CDMO part of the business.
Sure. Okay.
And, this share could keep on increasing in the future. Now with the joint offerings that we are giving along with Celonit as the partner for supplying the MABs.
Sure. And on the French subsidiary, if you can share the numbers, what were the revenues and losses for FY26 and what is the outlook for FY27 and FY28?
Yeah, so the French facility did a revenue of close to about 8 million euros and we had a loss of close to about 9 million euros for that particular entity. Sure. What we expect is that in the current year, it should get up to close to about 11 to 12 million euros of revenue, and the losses should come down to close to about 6 million.
And these are at EBITDA level, right?
These are the EBITDA level.
Okay, so the break-even is expected in FY28 or it will go to FY29 at EBITDA level.
Yeah, I think in FY28 is when we aim that, it should turn profitable, especially now that we have about a year back, we already received the ANSM approval. That is where we are trying to get more and more projects for phase 3, which could potentially turn into, and we are also aiming for projects for commercial supplies as well. So, we have aggressively bid for this project, so we just need one or two of these projects to kind of fructify, basis which, we expect that the profitability as well as the revenue should increase significantly.
Sure. And this last question on the interest cost, do we plan to hedge the Swiss currency loan that we plan to take in the Indian parent, or it will continue to remain in Swiss franc only? And how do you see the interest cost for FY28? Let's say the refinance happens in Q2, Q3. So FY28, how should we look at the interest costs?
Well, the net interest cost FY20, we don't plan to hedge it because, as I mentioned, we have Swiss franc revenues as well coming from India, which kind of acts as a natural hedge against the debt that we would be taking in Swiss francs in order to pay off the rupee debt, as well as part of the debt could be utilized for future working capital and capex requirements if they come up. So overall, what we expect is that because of the refinancing activity, the debt cost for us should go down significantly. I would say we would see an interest cost of not more than a net interest cost of not more than 70 odd crores for the full financial year. So that is what we are expecting.
For FY20, interest cost at a console level would be around that, is what you're saying?
This would be, at a console level, it would be close to about not more than 100 crores.
Okay. Thank you, Anisha. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Viraj Mehta from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Harsh. Congratulations. My only question is on India utilization. Obviously, our utilization is very low today, and pretty hopeful of ramp up in there. In terms of when you say 25 million tech transfer for a large product from a Swiss entity to Indian arm will happen, but will there be price reduction? So, like for Indian entity, what will that mean in terms of revenue?
Well, it would not be, well, the revenue we would have to see at that particular point in time. But just taking the current run rate, even after providing the discount to the customer, and close to about 30-odd%, still the overall margin at a group level is increasing by close to about 20-25%. So in terms of revenue, it could be close to about 15-20 million. But in terms of profitability, it will be much higher than what we're making currently because of the clear cost differentiation that we see between the Swiss cost base and the India cost base.
Right. And that this project you mentioned will start by Q3 of this year?
No, right now the tech transfer has started, so it will take, a few years before the entire project can move over here. Maybe as an interim, what could happen is that at least part of the project could be moved, which could be manufacturing additional intermediates than what we are already doing. So it could be a phase-wise approach rather than, everything in one go.
Right. So, but if that is the case, then how are we seeing 500 crores for 28, right? Because we are at 220, and if this does not come, then what gives you or what inspires that confidence in you, especially given our history of at least last 18 months, to go to 500 crores in India?
Yeah, because, this is not the only project that we are banking on. You know, there are several projects in the pipeline, plus certain orders already received, new orders which have already been received. So in the current year itself, we will see, at least 25-odd% of growth in the revenue. In the next year is where we would see many of the contracts that would be signed in the current year or the orders that would be received would, it would get translated into revenue numbers. So getting to 500 crore is not unrealistic, whether this tech transfer happens or does not happen, because, we have multiple projects in the pipeline. And as I mentioned, for certain projects, the contracts are already signed, certain projects, the orders are already received. So where we have, so for the new contracts that we have already received, we are already providing now the validation batches, and the higher quantities would come in the current financial year, by the end of the current financial year or beginning of the next financial year.
Sure. So I understand, like, there is a lot of visibility when you talk about FY28. And my last question, Harshil, is on the CHF. Now, because CHF has depreciated against Indian rupee by almost 6-7% over the last 6 months, all our, and I'm only talking about the Swiss entity right now. I understand we have losses at some other, but our largest profitable entity, Swiss entity. Is it fair to assume that whatever EBITDA that we make in the Swiss entity, and by that same logic, PBT and PAT, even if we assume very little growth or 5-7% growth that happens there, we will see a substantial increase in the numbers in INR, at least at the P&L level. An entire gains or translation of the currency would at least flow into our P&L in the INR level over next 1 year.
Well, I mean, at an EBITDA level, even if, say, for example, there is a 5% movement in the foreign currency, in the foreign currency like Swiss franc, the cost base is also quite high. So from an EBITDA perspective, if you're making, say, for example, a 20% EBITDA margin, the impact could be for that 5% on that 20%, which is the only impact that we would see. Because most of the cost base is in Swiss francs, while in the revenue, you know, we have dollars, Swiss francs, euros, as well as GBP.
Right, I understand. But I'm saying if you were making just 100 Swiss franc as EBITDA a year back, and your projection is 105 Swiss francs this year, the same translated into INR would be 110 rupees rather than just, like, just that gain should
correct.
Directly...
That's correct.
I'm asking. Super. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Understand. And best of luck.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you very much, Viraj.
Thank you, sir. Dear participants, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Brita Sarkar from Mount Infra Finance Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sir, first one question on the balance sheet side, sir. So, sir, my point is like we don't have any capex as such in near term, apart from the Japanese contributor, and like we have actually experiencing almost 40% depreciation in like INR vis-a-vis Swiss franc. So in this scenario, sir, why would we rather than we are generating almost 500 crore of cash flow from operation. So in this context, rather than, sir, converting the existing loan to foreign currency denominator basically, how would you justify this, sir? And that too, sir, we are taking this loan from a promoter entity. So, what is the significance of that? I know, so if you go by our blended cost, it is now around 6.7. So it will get reduced to 4%, which may on a yearly basis save 50-60 crore. But on the contrary, like we have a gross debt of around 2,500 crore. And if we are opening up incremental risk of currency depreciation to a great extent, and given that we are already leveraged and our gross debt is actually higher than our gross revenue, so how do you reconcile that, sir?
So, as far as the currency fluctuation is concerned, we have the revenues which are also denominated in foreign currency. So this liability would act as a hedge against the foreign currency revenue that we are going to get. So overall, if you see over a period of, if you take 10 years, you know, which is the tenure of the loan, basically over a period of 10 years, the total revenue that could be generated out of the India entity itself, even at the current run rate on 500 odd crores, it is almost about 5,000 crores in foreign currency. Against that, the debt that we are saying is close to about 800 odd crores. So effectively, there is a natural hedge which is available as far as the debt as compared to the revenue is concerned. So from that perspective, this would be actually an effective interest cost for us, where there is a significant reduction that we are seeing as far as the cash outflow is concerned, also as far as the interest cost is concerned. So which will also have a positive impact on the overall P&L and the profit before tax and after tax. So that is going to help us immensely as far as the cash flow of the group is concerned. And it will also act as a mechanism where, because India is coming up and there would be requirement of additional working capital as well as we move into the future, as well as there could be capex requirement in the future, not that something has been planned right now. So in case that is also required, this is the cheapest source of finance by which we can basically have all of those expenses met. So that is the rationale behind getting this financing, plus all of our securities, you know, which have been given right now, plus the repayments, etc., that are happening on a yearly basis. So that also gives us the flexibility. Plus, there is also a clause where the interest can also be capitalized. So at least for the first 2 years, it is going to be paid only in kind. So it will be capitalized as part of the overall facility, which will be amortized, not even amortized, there will be a bullet payment at the end of 10 years. So there is a lot of flexibility that is provided in this proposal, and that makes it extremely beneficial, not just for the India entity, but for the group as a whole.
Yeah, but sir, to be very frank, if you see, like I have raised this question previously also, like in last 6-7 years, our debt has gone up by 3x from 1,000 crore to now almost 2,500, almost 3,000 crore near about. I know we have, we have gone through a lot of difficulty, and that's the one of the reasons, I understand that. But if you see, like our cumulative revenue growth is in single digit, or let's say high double digit, whereas like if you count that the only last year, Swiss franc has gone up point to point almost 20%. So in this circumstances, and to be very honest, we are saying everything is notional, but whenever we have to repay it back, so we in that point of time, like we have to actually, in terms of rupee, we have to pay back much higher. In this context,
what I would say is that if my revenue was in rupees, and if my subsidiaries were also not generating any revenues in Swiss franc, and also at the India standalone level, then I am with you. But here I have a lot of Swiss franc receivables, a lot of Swiss franc inflows that are coming in, which will be utilized to service the interest and the principal payment. So from that perspective, I'm not running a foreign exchange risk on account of the forex fluctuation. That is what I was trying to say.
No, I understand your point, but sir, if let us take the last year example, sir. Swiss franc has gone down by, like, it has depreciated by 20%. Even that, if you put the same logic, our revenue growth should be more than 20%, because only currency fluctuation has given us a 20% growth in terms of revenue, which is not the case. So in this case, sir, like opening, and as of now if you take a base level Indian pharma company vis-a-vis like our debt level is much, much higher. My only point into context is that, sir, from an investor perspective, and I want to at least draw your attention. If you take, so we are now positioning ourselves the way, like now we have come out with a PPT where we are trying to present ourselves, which we were there, but now we are projecting ourselves as a CDMO player. So if you compare Indian CDMO vis-a-vis us, we are trading at 1/5 of a valuation in terms of revenue to EV or revenue to market.
Correct. So I agree to your point that we are... I don't know to which companies you are comparing, because you know our journey starts with the development of actual molecule at the Swiss entity, where the antibodies are one of the most strongest. So we agree. I mean the valuation does not reflect the true value.
My point to draw your attention is, sir, despite we have expertise of ADC kind of a thing, which is quite advanced in terms of technology, one of the most complicated, one of the reasons, and probably the most important reason for us not getting that kind of evaluation, is our debt level, sir. Because vis-a-vis, if you compare other CDMO, in terms of leverage, they are much less leveraged, sir. So my point, my only request, kindly think of this, sir. If any way we can, rather than keep on increasing our debt, sir, and getting more leverage, sir, if we improve our capital structure...
No, we are not getting more leveraged. That is what I would like to correct here. We are not getting more leveraged. That is what I was trying to say. The leverage would actually go down, as you have already seen in financial year 26, that the leverage went down by about 11 million Swiss francs. Similarly, we will see the leverage going down as we move into the future. What will happen is that it will result into additional cash flow for the company, Because, you know, there will be a significant saving as far as the interest cost is concerned, and that will help us to take other initiatives as well, you know, which would be for the growth of the business and for accreting the value to the investors.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Amit Mehendale from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I think most of my questions have been answered. I have just one quick question on the revenue. So is it fair to say that our revenue growth for next couple of years would be more or less in line with what we have done, like 10-12% going forward at control basis?
So basically the idea is that over, if you take a next 2 to 3 year view, the CAGR of the revenue should be much higher than what we have achieved in the last financial year. So overall from a revenue perspective, we do expect close to about 15% as the CAGR over the next 3 years.
Right, sir. And my last question is on the French entity. I think it seems that the break-even is delayed by about maybe 2-3 quarters or 4 quarters. Any color on what happened and, you know, how do we see going forward?
So here for the French entity, we, you know, as I mentioned, we have given the proposals for certain late phase as well as commercial projects. And what we are also doing is to offer drug substance, which is our API business, along with the drug product as a single offering, where we are already now seeing positive effects. You know, basically it does take time, you know, is what we realized from the time we obtained the ANSM certification to actually getting the customer in and converting into revenue. So that is where the time was consumed. But we are pretty confident as far as the business model is concerned and the fundamentals of that particular business is concerned. And because of the single offering of drug substance and drug product, you know, we do expect that a lot of projects should flow to the drug product part of the business.
Sure, sir. That's it from my end. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question comes from Ramanuj Chandak, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Ramanuj, you are.
Yes. Sir, my doubt is primarily regarding goodwill. On 31st March 2025, our goodwill was 4,053.56 crores. But we see on 31st March 26, it has increased it to 4,798 crores. How did this increase happen, sir?
So this increase is largely on account of the foreign exchange fluctuation that we have seen in the last 1 year. So, you know, these assets get restated at the closing exchange rate. But otherwise, there is no additions, so to say, as far as the goodwill is concerned. It's purely on account of the FX fluctuation.
Okay, so means majority of the goodwill we are holding is in Swiss entity. Means it is quoted in, it's not quoted in Indian rupee.
So basically, this is the, so this goodwill has two parts. One is the goodwill on the standalone India balance sheet, which is on account of the internal restructuring, the merger that we had done in 2017. So that is, I think, roughly about 550 odd crores, and the rest of the goodwill is on account of goodwill on consolidation. So because the India entity has investments in its wholly owned subsidiaries in Switzerland, Netherlands, etc., all of these investments were revalued to the fair value in 2017. So the difference between the fair value and the book value is what is sitting as part of this goodwill on consolidation.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Participants are kindly requested to ask 2 questions in the initial round and may join the queue for more questions. The next question comes from Mr. Vikram Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon. Again, I'm on the question of borrowings and the balance sheet. You see, we have increased borrowing, long-term borrowings from 1150 crores to 1540 crores. The cash in hand has gone up from 340 to 790 crores. The point being that you know, if we don't have any major capex planned, why have we increased debt and simply added cash on the balance sheet rather than vice versa?
So these are the new facilities that were provided as part of the syndicated credit facilities at the Swiss entity, you know, where we had to draw down the facilities. And, you know, since we have US dollars in hand, those are basically kept as deposits on which we receive positive interest, because the cost for the Swiss franc borrowing for us is less than 4%. So that is where, you know, we are able to get a positive interest on the borrowings.
Oh, so you're actually saying we are, I mean, suddenly earning interest in one currency and paying lesser in another currency?
Yeah, because, you know, and the investment is also in foreign currency only, but because, you know, otherwise if we don't draw down, then there is a commitment fee that would be charged by the bank. So instead of paying the commitment fee, it is in our interest to get a positive interest on the cash that is drawn down.
So when do we reverse this? In the sense, you know, this gives a very skewed outlook on the balance sheet, right, to an observer, which was also the point which another investor was making earlier. Now, maybe, you know, you could give some explanatory note with the notes to accounts to this. So that, you know, plain vanilla, it looks like a very heavy debt equity ratio, which clearly is not the case. So again, when do we see this reversing, in the sense that when do we see you using the cash and bank balance to pay down and reduce the overall debt number at a consolidated level?
So from a, so I think the right way to look at it would be from a net debt perspective. Because, you know, having the cash on the balance sheet actually provides us the interest income as well. So the right way to even look at our P&L would be the finance cost net of the interest income. Because on the cash which is sitting, we are also earning an interest income. So effectively, our cost gets reduced on account of the investments vis-a-vis the borrowings.
Fair enough. So,
but the net debt would be the right way to look at the balance sheet rather than just
fair
the
enough,
cost.
Fair enough. So could you just give us some guidance on what is the target net debt reduction year on year for the next two to three years?
So that would be at least to the tune of about 10 to 15 million Swiss francs, so roughly about 150 odd crores every year is what the target is.
See, if you're generating a cash flow of 500 crores plus a year and minimal planned capex, why are we only targeting reducing the debt by 150 crores and may not, I mean, and why not something closer to 250, 300 crores?
So this is the minimum target. I mean, it could be even higher than that. But yeah, as you correctly mentioned, from the cash flow that we are generating, X of the capex that we need to do every year, whatever is the additional cash, and, you know, maybe a small amount for the working capital as well, the rest all cash is something that will go towards the net debt reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. That would be the last question for the day. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Stephen Christie for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for the interesting and informative questions. We are convinced we could answer them to your satisfaction. Also, thank you for your general interest in Digital Coverage and AMSIS. We are looking forward to a bright and good future of our portfolio company because we are very well positioned in the market, and we are optimistic that we can reach our goals. With this, I would like to say thank you and say goodbye till the next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Doosabus conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.